And we've assembled the round table. We've got Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. We've got Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Deke, I want to start with this. I keep hearing this word over and over again, opportunity, in reference to what this game can mean for the Browns, coming off the win, but you know, a feeling that this is a Ravens team that they've played tough once before, just last September in Baltimore, and it's a team that is struggling in many ways defensively, where it looks like it plays into the strength of the Browns, especially at running back.
And these are the big boys. I mean, they lead the division, and it's a great opportunity. But, you know, you look at Indianapolis, they had four out of their front seven down, and we thought, boy, we'd be able to run the ball real well against them, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Deke, that everybody assumes the Browns are going to be able to run the ball just like they assumed going into Indy. But you know, yeah, Baltimore is going to be committed to stopping Trent, so I would not be surprised at all if the Browns came out throwing the ball and did that first and then went to the run game second.
And, Nate, you know the philosophy of Pat Shurmur. It's really to throw to set up the run. Generally speaking, he wanted a different game plan, and he would have used a different game plan, I'm sure, against the Chargers, but weather dictated otherwise. This is supposed to be, what, about a 45-degree sunny day, I think, Sunday. So it is going to be conducive, I think, to Brandon Whedon throwing more. But, you know, I could envision some balance there to try to set up the run that way.
Yeah, I would hope so, because Trent Richardson's coming off such a big game, you know, the best of his young career. And you know, the thing about the Ravens, D, is obviously they're missing Ray Lewis. They're missing their great cornerback, Ladarius Webb. But Brandon Whedon, and he knows this from playing him the first time, he cannot afford to make that critical mistake. And they still have Ed Reed. I mean, there's so many guys on that defense who can step up and make plays. So I know they're ranked 28th in the league right now. They're ranked 30th against the run, and they're not what they usually are. But, you know, they are a force to be reckoned with no matter what.
Doug, when you look at Brandon Whedon, are you seeing a guy who has a better understanding of the need, not only the need to take care of the ball, but the ability to do so, that he is, as a thrower, as a passer who can rely on that big arm, isn't maybe taking as many unnecessary chances now as you've seen earlier?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you just look at your stats and you see the number of interceptions, and yeah, some of them were tipped balls, but some of them were throws that, you know, were late or shouldn't have been thrown where they were thrown. So, you know, they always say the pigskin is your paycheck, and I think they know the value of the fact that if he turns the ball over, you know, we've got problems. I mean, we've got some firepower, but, you know, we're not exactly Tom Brady yet.
The passing game, of course, is relying on receivers who, A, need to catch the ball and not drop it as much as this team has had in that area, but also people who know how to get open and know their way when it comes to that of the finding the holes in the secondary and being savvy about that. And a guy missing, and I think it's hurt this team quite a bit in that regard, is Mohamed Massaquah. So looking at him getting healthier and perhaps getting back in there, can you see that making a difference, Scott?
I think it helps, especially because Mohamed started out the season so strong. I think he had 8 or 9 catches through the first 2 weeks before the hamstring against Buffalo. So he was headed in the right direction. He and Whedon had chemistry right off the bat.
Yep.
So I think it helps. The veteran presence helps because it's a really young receiver core. If you get outside of him and you don't count Cribbs, who doesn't play much at receiver, you know, Greg Little's the most veteran guy, and he's in his second year. So I think it helps. I do think it creates a challenge of how do you manage the reps for the five receivers that you're going to have active. You know, does Momas play a lot more than Travis Benjamin? What about Josh Cooper? Could he be inactive even though he's got 6 catches all for first downs in the last few weeks?
Sure.
So, you know, I expect Mohamed to play, and I expect him to play a lot of snaps and be a contributor, but I think there's going to be some coaching that needs to be done and how you balance that.
Nate, is there more of a maturing that we're seeing among this group? With each week, it seems like Josh Gordon, for instance, looks not only more familiar with playing NFL receiver, something that, I mean, he had a long way to go on that count, but just a general sense among these receivers of accountability, of a sense of that, again, they can't afford to have the ball go through their hands, A, and B, that they've got to be playmakers. They've got to help Brandon Whedon as much as he helps them.
Yeah, I think so. And Josh Gordon, I think, is a perfect example because, you know, he got off to a rough start. You know,
and
you know, training camp was kind of rough on him. He was lackadaisical a lot of times in practice. The coaches wanted him to develop better practice habits, and eventually the light started to flicker. And he really obviously has come on strong in recent weeks. But he did have that huge drop in Indianapolis. It could have been the game-winning touchdown. And he stood up in the locker room and right after the game and took responsibility, blamed himself, said, yeah, I have to make that. There's no sun in my eyes, no excuses, nothing like that. You know, and that, to me, was the ultimate sign of accountability and really, I think, is a good sign coming from a guy who, you know, the Browns hope can be a number one receiver and, you know, a guy who's a rookie and has a checkered past. For him to stand up like that, I think it really, really is promising.
It's the Roundtable. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, and Nate Ulrich also covering the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Doug, the excitement level that we can all gauge, the buzz that's around town, and in the locker room, I get a sense, too, of a more confident group, but I don't see a giddy group. I didn't see, after last week's game, any sense of, hey, we're here, we've arrived. They know what they are. They know what 2-6 says. And if anything, I think they just want to continue to show people who are surprised when the final score says the Browns won the game, that they're not any kind of a fluke.
Well, I go back to what DeQuell said when they beat Cincinnati, and he's – people are saying, well, what do you think? He said, well, we'll see what we do this week, and that'll show us, you know, how far we've gone. I think sometimes you learn lessons from that, you know, it's not this easy. You know, to win two in a row is tough. I mean, especially when you're a young team like they are. But, they're a hungry team. I mean, they want to win so bad because the last thing you want as a player is hear negative, you know, things about your team. And the best way to end it is win football games.
The traction, Scott, that we can possibly see, though, or you get a feeling could come about, the timing of that would be ideal because you are heading into a bye week, mm-hmm. and you'd rather be savoring what you've done. It'll make – I mean, if the record ends up being 3-6 and you take that into a bye, it's still a lousy record. But for this team, it's – I think it would represent, because of the timing of where these three wins would have fallen, I think the timing of it would be ideal because now you're not only savoring that, you're reflecting. It doesn't make whatever we saw through the vast majority of the first nine games look as bad.
No, there's no doubt about that. And you know how the memories are in this league. If they lose this week to Baltimore, nobody remembers that they won the week before. You know, it's 2-7, and that's terrible, and what do we look for now? You know, but if they win, it's 3 out of 4. They start the second half of the season with the win. They haven't beaten Baltimore. They're 0-9 in their last nine games against Baltimore. Yeah. This win, if they got it Sunday, would be huge. It would keep them, you know, quote unquote, around when you talk contention. I mean, there's guys in this locker room saying, if we get a little string here, you know, you never know what can happen. So this win would be huge, and going in the bye would just be another aspect in how important it would be.
Nate, what does that say about these players when there's that kind of talk going on versus the opposite, which is really no reference to that in past, especially last year? I don't remember really any sense where these players talked about. I know it's an unspoken thing. You're in it to win it. You're paid. You're not paid. You're paid only to win. But did you sense that? Do you sense there's a difference between the locker room attitude of a year ago, say this time, versus what you're hearing now?
Yeah, I do, and I think it's a couple things. I think part of it is, I think some of it has to do with Jimmy Haslam coming in and just the energy that the players feel from, you know, just the whole aura that's surrounding the organization now. And I think maybe even more, I think it's a reflection of the youth on this roster. And I, you know, I talked to Joe Thomas about it this week, and he said that, you know, these guys are excited, they're ready to go, and they're enthusiastic and optimistic about the rest of the season. And rightfully so. He said, I think we're a team on the rise. I think that, you know, it's kind of funny because he said the three most important positions on offense are quarterback, running back, and your number one wide receiver. I was surprised he didn't mention left tackle. but he said, hey, all those guys are rookies, and they're playing a lot better right now. And really, that has a huge, huge factor in their attitude right now. Just the fact that they think they're getting better, they feel they're getting better, and they think that, you know, it's really going to show in the second half here.
He didn't say left tackle because he hit the payday last year. So no need to.
No, but I do think there is something to be said for the ownership change, Doug, and what it means to this team, the energy level. But more than that, the expectation. He as much as when he got that game ball, called out the team and said, get greedy. We know this isn't good enough. We want a game here, but we need more.
Well, I think if you observe Jimmy Haslam, he's got a swagger to his walk.
Yeah.
And I think he wants to get that swagger to his football team.
Yeah, that's a great point and well put. He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, and Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being part of the roundtable.
Thanks, Vic.
Thanks,
appreciate
Vic.
It. All right, we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.